Good morning and welcome to BVTV. Today, I have the pleasure of being in the studio with Wolfgang Bauer, Global Credit Fund Manager, who joins me to discuss a pretty interesting week for markets. Welcome back, Wolfgang.
My pleasure.
So this morning, we open with one key developing story, the Catalan situation in Spain. Following Catalonia's self-declared and immediately self-suspended announcement of independence last week, Spain's central government has required clarification of whether independence has actually been formally declared. Should that be the case, and if not revoked before Thursday, Spain's Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy could trigger Article 155 of the Spanish Constitution, which allows for the Catalan administration to be suspended. Despite political stakes being high, international markets and Spanish assets have responded positively after Catalonia suspended independence, and snap regional elections now seem the most likely outcome priced in by the market. As a result, 10-year Spanish government bond yields have rallied by almost 10 basis points during the week, relaxing the risk premium over Germany back to pre-referendum levels around 120 basis points. And we've actually seen a similar pattern on the credit side, haven't we, Wolfgang?
Yes, indeed. Over the past 2 weeks, the credit spreads of bonds from Spanish banks, for instance, CaixaBank, and from other Spanish corporations, take, for example, Merlin Properties in the real estate space, they have been rather volatile compared to other European credits. We first saw a widening of spreads just after the referendum, and then immediately a tightening of spreads when the independence enactment was suspended. But I think it's important to put things into perspective. First, I think the magnitude of these spread moves was fairly small. We're talking about 10 to 20 basis points, a little bit more for certain subordinated bank bonds, but that's far away from any distressed crisis-like scenario. And secondly, the volatility in spreads was very much a Spanish domestic topic. Overall, the European credit segment hasn't shown that volatility over the past 2 weeks. But as you mentioned, it's an evolving story. So if we see any escalation in terms of either declaration of independence, enactment of Article 155, then credit spreads might be a bit vulnerable, especially in the Spanish space.
And actually, staying with politics, we've just woken up to the results of the Austrian presidential election. It appears that Sebastian Kurz is now the new chancellor. What does this mean for Europe, and what can we expect in terms of market reaction?
Well, I think the immediate market reaction to the Austrian elections is going to be very muted. Yes, it's true that we have a change in leadership in Austria. Sebastian Kurz is very likely to become the next chancellor. But that, again, was essentially the base case of most opinion polls before the election, so it doesn't come as a surprise. I think if we have to put it more in the big picture, there's clearly a tendency in certain parts of Europe of a shift in political sentiment towards more the right. We have seen that in the German election. Now we've seen it in the Austrian election. And I think also the pressure on German conservatives is on. Merkel lost another regional election last night. So I think her party members will put pressure on her, and it doesn't make it more easy to construct a coalition under these circumstances.
All right. Thanks, Wolfgang. So moving on to the week ahead, UK September inflation is due out on Tuesday. This will be an important print to watch, as recent consumer surveys suggest inflation concerns have reached their highest level since January 2014. And back to global politics, Japan holds its general election next Sunday. The latest opinion polls suggest Prime Minister Shinzo Abe and his coalition partner, the Komeito Party, could secure a two-third majority. Wolfgang, we've seen the yen weaken over the past few weeks. Could a strong Abe win perhaps extend the status quo in Japan's monetary policy?
I think a resounding Abe victory makes it pretty likely, also not absolutely certain, that Kuroda gets reappointed as governor of the Bank of Japan. And in that case, I would very much expect a continuation of the current monetary policy. If Abe and his party should face extensive losses, then I think another term for Kuroda becomes less likely. But that being said, it wouldn't necessarily mean that the monetary policy of Japan in this scenario would change fundamentally, but uncertainty would certainly rise. And you mentioned the weakness in the Japanese yen. I think it's also important to highlight that the performance of the yen is not exclusively driven by the monetary policy in Japan. The yen has historically been a safe haven, so it tends to perform well when risk asset classes sell off. So in a way, the underperformance of the yen in the past weeks and months is kind of the mirror image of the strengths in the risk asset market. So if investor sentiment at some point in the future changes, becomes more bearish, more risk averse, then we could see a stronger performance of the yen, even if the monetary policy in Japan stays exactly as it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, cheers, Wilfried. Thank you for joining today. And that's it from us. For more insights, do follow us on Twitter or through our blog, bondvigilantes.com. Have a great week and see you soon.